Okay. All right. Okay, so yesterday we were sleeping in the sukkah and we had some practice, and today we had some pre-eating again so that we can practice eating in the sukkah. So today is going to be a little halacha lemaaseh. You ready? It'll be pretty practical. Okay, so we saw yesterday that there's a halacha of not sleeping outside the sukkah. We said it was more chamor than not eating outside the sukkah, in as much as, with regard to sleeping, it's even asur to sleep, eshenas arai, but with regard to eating, it is asur to eat. Right? Mm. And achilas keva, then achilas arai is permissible chutz la sukkah. How do we know? Prove it.
Because you're much more likely to eat.
No. Prove it. Don't have the logic for it. Can not I, this far, but prove it. Come on. What is the first source? Zacha says Aviv.
Come on. It's Mishnah.
Say better. Right? It's a Mishnah. Which Mishnah? It's our first Mishnah, right? Correct? Right? The Yara, what do you say? No, it's right there. Yeah. Right? You're right. We give the Svara, but I'm just saying the Makor, right? The proof is the Mishnah.
Proof is his Mishnah.
Okay? Okay, good. Everything's a Chakira. He's got a Chakira for every... okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. Conversation with Michael about that.
Okay. What? Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'll leave you. I have to look forward to, apparently. All right. Yeshiva. Okay. It's kind of funny, because when I was in yeshiva, so it was the Gush guys who were always like the stereotypical, like everything's a two-sided chakira, but I wonder if things have changed in my old age. Okay. And so Michael was saying, he was saying not that everything could be packaged into chakira. Navachu! Yeah. How about this? You see how like the Gush and I called the guys, very interesting. Okay, let's do a study. Says the Mishnah. You know what? They have chassid shiurim, right? Rabbi Kerrigan gives the shiur. Okay, shluchim mitzvah shiurim and hasuk. The whole world is upside down. Yeah, okay.
The world is just upside down when Gush starts telling.
Jude, when I was in yeshiva, they also had shiurim and chassidus. The American Rambam didn't generally give it, but they had the chugim for the Israelis and chassidus. You could definitely go to this. In fact, they have a Rambam who goes machshava, and he does a mix of... it's more now than it used to be, but it's not like you couldn't. In all seriousness, I think it's more of a focus. When I was in yeshiva, I took a week with my Israeli friend, and we went to the yeshiva of Ramat Gan.
Cool.
You guys know about Ramat Gan?
Yeah, our next minute,
right? What?
Our next Bnei Brak, right?
Two?
Bnei Brak.
It's Bnei Brak. Yeah, it's right there.
It is right.
It's like it's kind of like the other side of town.
Yeah.
So Ramat Gan has a yeshiva has there, and it is extremely hardcore Israeli, and they are devotees of what they call these days Chabakuk. You guys know what Chabakuk is? You ever hear this term?
Yeah.
It was Chabakuk. It's not a Navi. It is a Navi, but it means something else, right? Chabakuk stands for Chasidut. What? It's in there, right? Chasidut.
Base.
Right, what's the bet?
The name? No.
Big white kippahs, stereotypically. Right? You'll forgive me? Yeah. Well, Breslov. Breslov, right? Okay, exactly. Yeah. What it says, right? Breslov. Chabakuk. Cook.
Big white.
And Carly Bach. Carly Bach is, of course, Hebrew for Carly Bach.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, wow. Okay.
Yeah, Carly Bach, we say. You go to Israel and you say Karl Bach, they look at you.
Yeah.
You say Karli Bach, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. So it's a mix of those. So it's, in other words, it's the yeshiva is there, that's Dati Lumi, and the guys go to the army, but they have, and they also, the guys have long payas, and they have to dance, they have dance a rikud every night before night seder to inspire themselves. Afternoon seder is Svat Emet is one of the options, and they have other very heavy chassidut koshen. And the guys, many of them have very long pace that run all the way down, and flowing shirts, and tzitzis flying everywhere, the whole nine yards. So that's the Ramat Gan. It was a fascinating week-long experience. I agree with that. But it was very Israeli. And it was very Israeli. So that's like, so right. So there have been trends in the Hasdur world where they've been kind of moving in that direction.
That's cool.
It's pretty fascinating. Anyhow, so what does that have to do with anything? We're not really sure. Okay, right. Good. All right.
Chakira.
Chakira. Okay.
It's like back to high school. Astronomy and say the things that can get them off lower.
Okay. Now the Rebbe's doing it instead of the Tommy.
Okay,
what?
It's impossible to do that.
It is impossible. That's a very tightly organized mind. But it reminds me, I had a friend who coined B right there. Yo, Lior's got it. He's got me wrapped right around this. Thank you. It's good. Baruch Hashem. I'm going to go back to all the cameras. Good times. A friend had the rhinoceros theory of conversations. He claims, I don't know if this is true, that in nature, if a rhinoceros points its head at something and goes running for its target, even if it misses, if it hits, oh, big trouble, but if it misses, it just keeps on going and going and going for a very long time. So he said, my friend said, conversations are like rhinoceroses. That was his theory. Rhinoceros theory of conversation.
You missed your goal of conversation.
What? If, right, exactly. Like, once a conversation, like, it doesn't matter what you were going for in the first place. You're just like, you're just going and you just keep going like the rhinoceros. I have no idea if rhinoceroses work that way or not.
Never looked up.
What? Yeah. That's our chiyum. It's a good chakiras. Right?
Like, I don't want to look it up.
Objective or subjective, right? Now. Okay. It's plural. Okay.
Points for a while.
Anyhow, what?
I've got points here for a while.
Oh, is that, that's the Derech HaLimud? Okay. Excellent. Good. So the Mishnah.
Tells us that it's more chomer.
What? Tells
sleeping
us.
Sleeping is more chomer than.
Well, it tells us not the halacha. Well, it just doesn't tell us halacha of sleeping, but tells the halacha of eating. Number one. Right, so that we talked about a little bit less. Chol misham shem turim nasuka. Number two, we talked about that plenty. Och mishosan arai chutz lasuka. Right, so that halacha is already here in the Mishnah. Okay, so then the Gemara, the Mishnah also teaches another relevant halacha. The following Mishnah. So this appears in Bavli and Chavam Beis. Maisa, right, a classic story. Right, you guys are probably familiar with this. Vehivio maisa vehivila l'rim yochan ben zaka v'tam esetav sorim gamli ashti kosavos udelisha mayim. So they brought them these snacks. V'amru helam nasuka. So what was the Rasad Yochan ben Zakkai and Reverend Gamliel? They said, don't bring it to us in a home. Right? Take him out to the sukkah. Here we come. The Rabbi Tzadok, food that was less than the size of the shir of a kibetza. Not lo b'mapa. He took it in a napkin or something like that, right? V'achla v'achalo chutz la sukkah v'lo birei hacharav. Right? And so what did he do? Right? He ate it outside the sukkah and did not make a bracha achrona. So this is a very strange Mishnah. So the Gemara does from time to time ask the question, Maisa Listor, whenever you see that, is the Gemara's way of asking what question?
Is this missing it?
That the Mishnah seems to bring a story as proof for the first case, for the halacha, but the problem is that the story, the incident, seems to actually imply the opposite, right? It undermines rather than lend support to the halacha that was brought in the Risha of the Mishnah. Maisa Listor, what are you talking about? Rav Tzadok's story, right, is the exact opposite take-home as the halacha with regard to, or the story with regard to, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rav Gamliel, Maisa Listor.
Rav Tzadok is the only one doing what the Mishnah says. Because it says that, Ochel Mishotin Arai Chutz HaSukkah. So you can eat Arai Chutz HaSukkah.
I hear that, but that's the previous Mishnah.
Right.
But this is talking about in just the Mishnah Chavah.
Oh, fine.
In Achinami, you're right. You could use, Lior, you're correct. You could use that to help resolve the apparent Sira in Achinami. And I think that's
what
part of the background to the Gemara's answer.
What is the Sira?
What's the Sira, Chevra? What's the Gemara's question, my solicitor?
We're saying that.
Rabbi Gamliel says go to the Sukkah, eat in the
Sukkah. There are three instances where Rabbeim are eating something minuscule that would be considered Arai.
Good.
And then,
were they in the sukkah or not in the sukkah?
Somewhere. Rabbi Gamliel says,
"Guess the list."
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. And one of them was not. That's the question.
That's what we make sure.
Right. Do you need to eat this in the sukkah? Or do you not need to eat this?
They seemingly.
So you're right. You could say it's a machlokas, but the problem is the mission doesn't seem to present it that way.
Right.
The mission knows how to present the machlokas, and it sounds like they're consistent.
He's not the reason that it's my list.
Sure. Well, it's the kasha's on every tzaddik.
Right.
The kasha is on, let's say, Rav Nasi, or the organization of the Mishnah.
Oh, okay.
The Mishnah, as it was crafted, seems to present Rav Tzadok as supporting or consistent with the Risha of the Mishnah, but in fact, it does just the opposite.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. So, Gemara says, Maisa Listor, the Mishnah is bringing a story to contradict the lesson of the beginning of the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, Chisure Mechzera V'Hachi Katani. Right? So, this phrase often goes together. Im Balach Mir Alatzmo Machmir, V'Les Bei Mishum Yuhara. A person may opt to be Machmir, to eat foods that do not require eating in the Sukkah, to nonetheless eat them in the Sukkah, and there's no Isser. Why do you think it's Usser to perform in it? So, the answer is a category called Yuhara. In other words, arrogance, right? Yuhara is a bad bad thing to do. It's firmer than that. So certain cases where it's also a person to do something, mishum yuhara, because you're showing yourself off to be so frum that basically you're setting yourself apart from the community, tzugyan brachos, and so on and so forth, right? Some who said at one point that raised the possibility that saying a chasan is patur from kriyat shema halacha, and so the Gemara discusses in that context. It doesn't really apply now. It is this way, but in theory, the Gemara talks about the possibility that if you're machmir, to nonetheless say kriyat shema as a chasan, even though you're distracted by the tirda of the mitzvah of getting married, is that yuhara. Another similar discussions that appear elsewhere among the Rishonim and the Achronim. So here also the Gemara says, no, there's no concern of Yorah. Right, next up, Amu Helom Lasukah. Ukshanasla Ravi Tzadik, Ochabachinigitza, Netlumatza, Mapav, Achlo, Chutzasuk of Lo Birich Acharav. In other words, what? Going back to the Mishnah, the point is that no, it's not Maisel Listor, rather it supports the Halach and the Rishon and the Mishnah. What's the point? Point is that really this is not something that's not obligated to eat. One's not obligated in the sukkah, but one may eat in the sukkah. Right? And that's the proof from Rabbi Tzadok that he chose to eat in the sukkah, and there's no iser because of a yuhara. Instead, we say that it is permissible and encouraged. It's a mitzvah, if not an obligatory mitzvah, to eat these kinds of snacks inside the sukkah. Okay.
He didn't eat in the sukkah.
He didn't, yeah, he did.
Sorry, the way around. Sorry. You're right. Rav Gamliel, Chanan ben Zakkai, Suman, Rav Gamliel, who ate it in the sukkah, that was permissible and appropriate, laudable, but not and not a violation of Yerach. Right. So then the Gemara says, wait a second, Hakadetza ba'isukkah. We should infer from here that what's the whole case in the Mishnah when one is exempt from eating in the sukkah? It's when you have less than the size of the beitza, as the Mishnah mentioned. Right? But what should we say? Right? Because the Mishnah said, Pachos mikabetza. So the Gemara infers that if you have Yosef mikabetza, you should be chayiv to eat that in the sukkah. So lema tavi tivta drav Yosef v'abayi. This is from Gemara Numa. We're going to see it here in sukkah as well. Who seem to say that what? Seem to say that even above the shear of a beitza should still be okay. Right? Inside one's home and not inside one's sukkah. So we're going to see that in the next half, from the next Gemara. So the Gemara answers no. Dima pachas mikabitza and tilu vracha lo ba'i. If it's less than a kibitza, then what? You don't have to do either n'tiyas sadaim or bracha, right? Implicitly, what kind of food are we talking about here?
All right.
Netila ubracha.
Oh,
so that's important to pick up on.
Because
that's going to be relevant to the next Gemara, right? What? Yeah, very good. So we're going to come back to that, okay? So hold on to that thought. Right? Hakabetza bo'i netila ubracha. It does require netila ubracha, but what? But maybe still, according to Rav Yosef Nabai, it might not have to be inside the sukkah. So what we're saying is that with regard to pas specifically, there is apparently a distinction between what? Different amounts. Right. If it's too much, then it has to be in the sukkah. If it's small enough, it does not have to be in the sukkah. What's the differentiating factor? So Gemara seems to say, well, there are different possibilities. Abaye and Rav Yosef had a higher standard. We'll have to see what that is. And maybe anywhere from there to we're going to see next Gemara. It's two or three beitzim. As we'll see in a second, or something above that. But we're right, or maybe a kibitz already has to be inside the sukkah. We'll have to see how we pass in. Right? But something that's more than both of those would definitely require eating in the sukkah. Something that's less than both those would definitely not require eating in the sukkah. Masha from the Gemara, by the way, that forgetting other foods, the snacks, etc., if you have bread that's less than the size of kibitza, what does the Gemara seem to imply?
You don't eat it
in the sukkah, which is a little surprising. It's not what we're accustomed to. But the truth is that appears as it did in Shulchan Aruch. Let's watch to see. I'll see more about that. Okay, that's this Gemara. Then you have one more Gemara, which is a little bit earlier, in between the two Mishnayos that we saw. Right? So that's on Chavav and Aleph, which we saw yesterday, but I just took out the snippet that's relevant for us. Ochel machilas aray chutzlas sukkah, v'cham machilas aray Rav Yosef tarte otzlas be'e. Right, we had our other sidebar yesterday, right, about the proper name for us, that's beitza, right, or be'a as it were, right, or if you will. So, fine, let's discuss yesterday. So, Rav Yosef is saying what? Achilas aray is still, it's still considered to constitute achilas aray if it's two or three egg sizes, which is obviously by definition larger than the shear of one egg, kibetza. This is part of the basis for the Gemara's question that we just saw in Chavzayin Ralph, right? So why the Gemara assumes that you know this halacha. Because if you're going in order, you already encountered this just one daf earlier. So what's Abaye's question? Wait a second. you think that two or three kibetzim, that's not never an achilas keva. Sometimes that is. Sometimes you have that as a suda. So this is what we talked about yesterday, the pregame, right? Pre-gaming it. Elam Rabaye ki detoim bar beira v'ayel akala, right? All right? Lior is our living example.
Only in Yeshiva.
What? It's you're so mechan the Ramah that the Beis Medrash is a din of Beisa. So Lior literally lives in the Beis Medrash. It's a beautiful, inspiring thing. It's a famous kula of the Ramah. Beautiful, Baruch Hashem. Right, so this is only if you're, right, if that's your home. Right? Sometimes you have no choice but to leave the Beis Medrash, but every breathing moment, push it. Okay, good. So Abaye says, no, it's like the younger lights, like the Ben Yeshiva, eats right before he runs off to Shir, right, from the Rebbe. Fine. So that's this Gemara. So again, you have these different opinions, right, somewhere in between those two. The Gemara seems to be challenging and saying, wait a second, even though Abaye and Rav Yosef say two or three can still be in Achilas Arai, the Gemara seems correct and say, no, maybe it's closer to this, right? Maybe it's not exactly Kabeitza, it's this Kidetoim Barbe Ravai Hulkal. So it's that, or the previous Gemara that we saw back on Chavzat, right, around Chavzain Mav, might sound like maybe it's possible that it's just Kabeitza, something around there already can be considered to be a Sudas Keva, and on the basis of the previous Gemara that we saw, we can assume this Gemara is talking about what food?
Pot.
Right? Exactly, because the Gemara talked about Tilo Vracha, right? So presumably that's what we're talking about over here. Now, Tosos is not going to read Tosos inside, but Tosos clarifies what's Tarti Otzles. It seems that Tosos had a different Girsa, not Tarti Otzles Bei, but rather Tosos had the Girsa of Tarti Otzles, two or three. So he quotes Rashi. Rashi says on the spot, Shtayim Okshalosh Pa'amim, Yitim the Sok Piv. Murshil Blaz, right? You shove, right? It's like, oh, can you fit in your mouth, right? I'm not sure. I was trying to figure out morsel, like a morsel,
yeah,
right? It's French, right? But I was trying to figure out morsel. Say, we usually assume morsel.
Means
a mouth. So right, that's not what we. That's not. I always thought morsel, right, meant just a small amount, like a tiny bit.
Right, so one of the we looked it up.
So in the old French, it means morsel. That's exactly what it means.
Yeah, it's like a small amount or a mouth.
Fascinating. Very good. They have it. Okay. Now you're French. So you learned. It is unbelievable. From learning Gemara, Rashi, and Tosos, we have now learned the meaning of a morsel.
Yeah.
So that's one way to learn French. I know someone who learned Aramaic by learning Targum Unkelos.
Really?
When he learned Shnayim Mikra V'Yachad Targum, he learned Unkelos. How much with Unkelos? What?
He translated the Targum.
He learned it, but he kind of went back and forth between the Pasuk and...
Yeah, I do that a little bit.
And that was actually how he learned Aramaic. He learned, then he brought it back to Gemara.
Wow.
He learned Aramaic not from Gemara, but from Onkelos.
SH in French.
It's all the same, though.
Because all the time that I've seen it in Rashi, saying
it's actually
French
a word
words,
in French.
It's always a sin, not a shin.
The old French. Not even to French. I'm not going to comment on French because I'm not a Baki, but I have to learn French for something. I'll tell you guys later. So when I learn French, it's a graduate work. That's not since graduate work. Nor is that work.
English words.
I have to learn French. So when I learn it, we'll have to come back. Then I have to. Maybe I should do it together with Rashi.
Rabbi, did you also used to think that Baki was an English word? Because I used to think that Baki.
No. That's interesting. It's certain words you just don't think
about. Interesting you said.
They're just words. I never thought that it was...
Is it?
Right. Well, which Baki? Now we learned two Baki. We learned another word Baki, right? Mishnah Baki. You didn't go into the flies.
Oh,
okay. There are people named Baki, but it's not me.
It's a different thing.
I'm saying to be like a master retreat.
All right, man.
Yeah. Here's the real Shaila is, what's the relation between a Baki and a Buckeye? Ohio State fans know the answer to that. Okay. They're very hardcore.
Bucky and the Buckeyes.
There we go. Okay, good. So that's so Tosos, that's really just Rashi. And then he quotes Argirsa, Vishwarm Shikasa Bantarti, Tzlas Bay A, two or three eggs. And Tosos says they're really exactly the same thing. Right? And then, at the end, Tosos makes the point that we've made, but I think it's Pashur in the Sugyos, but it's significant that Tosos was out of his way to confirm our suggestion. The fourth last line, Tosos, we have put it here. Vishir Zeh, he says, Dafka Bifas. says this whole discussion of kibetza, more than kibetza, etc., it also seems to think we'll go by kibetza, yeah, right, is dafka by pas. But if you have other foods, then even more than that would be okay. As you know, it's from Gran Yuma, which he summarizes here, who says, right, kidemasek beferek basra de Yuma, as we conclude in the last parak of Masechet Yuma, de keva did hu kachila sarai de pas, that the permanent eating of fruit is like the achilas keva of pas. In other words, if you have a case which is the borderline, or just at that point is considered to be keva for pas, that's still arai with regard to peros. So whatever that shear is for pas would not be required to eat in the sukkah when it comes to peros. And that's what Tosos deduces based on the Gemara in Yuma. We're going to see the Rosh's citations that are relevant for that in a moment.
Is it also possible that the Gemara mentioned Netila Bracha because everything else is Peshitta? That wouldn't make sense.
Right? That means that it could be eaten outside the sukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that makes good sense. Okay, now it comes to the Rosh. Okay, Beis Yud Gimel. So the Rosh first quotes the Gemara, and then he quotes some other Shitos.
I was thinking the opposite, but it's not possible because we know Lechem is more. Like Gemara is saying Lechem.
No, it would be very hard. Yeah, Svara, based on everything possible. We know about Halacha,
yeah.
we wouldn't. Right, no, theory, but yeah, based on what we know, it would be difficult to imagine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so take a look at the Rosh. He quotes some other Shitos that are contrary to Tosos and what we generally assumed to be the halacha, which is interesting. So first he quotes, he basically starts off like this, and then he says like this, he quotes Rabbeinu Meir. Who is Rabbeinu Meir? Anybody know? Right. Nope, Rishon. Which Rishon was the Ashkenazic Rabbeinu Meir? Give you a hint, if you remember, I was at his keder in 2004. Did I ever tell the story? I feel like I told the story at some point.
Balinese.
German. No, that was a.
Is it also a Tamil?
This is someone who's buried in Germany.
Also. Germany.
Yeah, also, he was the same. I think it was the same person, just based on the command. What?
So from E or Aleph last name?
No, the Reish. Or we don't have his last name. They didn't have last names. Is his location? Maharam May.
Rutenberg.
Excellent. Very good. Maharam May Rutenberg, Mayor of Rothenburg. Oh. Yeah. Rabbeinu Meir, when the Bali Atosa, and the Rush is a crossover Bali Atosos, and then he ran the flood to Svar. But Rabbeinu Meir, right, is the Maharam May Rutenberg. Maharam May Rutenberg, a very important mission. The story was that I went on this really complicated, emotionally really complicated trip to Germany in 2004, and we went to the old cemetery in Worms, which is where Rashi learned. Rashi didn't live there for most of his life. Rashi came from France, and then but he came to the major yeshivas at that time were in Germany. It was before the First Crusade, so they were especially strong yeshivos. And Worms has an ancient and long-standing Jewish community that kind of revived itself at later points in history. So you can go to the ancient cemetery in Worms, and without realizing it, I saw the kvaros of the Maharam Meir Rutenberg, the Maharil, the great Ashkenazic posek, and the Chavos Yair, Rabbi Yair Bachrach. And they're each about a few hundred years apart, and they're all buried in the same ancient cemetery. You can actually make it out. It's really a very powerful experience. And Arami Rutenberg very famously died in prison in 1290 because he refused to allow his children and the Jewish community to ransom him because he feared he was thrown in prison and then ransomed. And he refused to allow them to pay money because of the Sugan Gittin, that if you do that, you're going to encourage the Gentiles to continue to ransom. It was a very anti-Semitic time in the community. He died in prison. His children eventually paid for his body to be buried in 1304.
That's the story.
And so that's when he was buried in that cemetery at that time.
Maybe the
it was literally 700 years later that it was at his
grave. So maybe the might as well have paid when he was alive. So in that case, the might as well have paid when he was alive.
Well, I think that they felt that under the circumstances, maybe the amount had gone down and the scenario changed and that it wasn't going to encourage.
It's just a sheet of encouraging your
it's not the sentence. Encouraging, right.
What's it called?
It's not Pikoch Nefesh in the same, or whatever. Although it wasn't Pikoch Nefesh, there was no fear that he was going to be killed actively.
Now you have a conflict between Kavanah Meis and allowing the.
That was Pidyon Shvuyim, and this is Kavanah Meis, right. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting to think through the sort of, is there a halachic distinction between a living and a dead? Case of Pidyon Shvuyim. Either way, so the Maharam Meir Rutenberg is an extremely important German posek, Rishonim. So he says like this, Rabbeinu, he was Machmir Horeishu. Rabbeinu Meir Hayanizar Milachol Peros Chatzal Sukkah. He said, no, even fruit needs to be eaten inside the sukkah. Right? Sounds like he thought that it was mandatory. He thought that there's some dispute about this issue in the Gemara Yuma, and even though it's the Bali Atosos initially thought that you should paskin, that right, that it's not required to be eaten inside the sukkah, he held like the other sheet on the Gemara Yuma that it actually has to be eaten inside the sukkah. But he said, but the Rosh says, that everyone would agree that that's only true, he says, if you eat it in a kavua way. I mean, there are two ways to eat fruit, right? Typically, how do we eat fruit?
As a dessert?
Right, or as a snack, right? That kind of thing. He's saying, the Rosh rather is saying, that even the Maharam only would have been machmir if you're koveh suuda. And this is important. And I think this is relevant for you, objective, subjective, right? In seriousness, right? In other words, very clear that some foods at a certain shear are automatically considered to be right. Keva. So there's an objective dimension. Pass above one size of a beitza or two or three or whatever it might be is objectively suudas keva. And it has to be in the sukkah, no matter my intention. Doesn't matter. But according to this, and there, we're going to see other examples of this, right? There could be kviya suda that is subjective, right? Even by pas. Lichora, if I have less than a kibetza, but I'm kove, or exactly a kibetza, according to the shita, that does not require a sukkah, right? If I'm kove a suda and say, this is my lunch, lichora, you have to eat then the sukkah. So it's a similar kind of thing. So Rashi is suggesting, even the Maharam was not saying all cases of peros automatically need to be in the sukkah. In this instance, if I'm koveya se'uda, so then the halacha is that it has to be eaten in the sukkah. So that there's both an objective and a subjective criteria that are available in terms of how we determine what constitutes a su'udas kevan halacha. There could be fact-based, it could be totally on the food, it could be totally on my intention, and there could be some sort of combination of those two in the case of peros. L'chora, if I have mayim, l'shem se'uda,
right, and that's what I was about to ask. Yeah.
Pashto's not. Pashto's specific to Peros. It's somewhat, it's sort of like this in between. So it sounds like there are three categories, according to the Maharam, as understood by the Rush. One extreme is the food is so chasho that it automatically is Sudas Kava. Another example is that this is clearly just refreshment, and it can never be considered Achilas Kava. And then there are these ambiguous cases, fruit we're seeing now, and we'll see Basar Guvina in a moment as well, that according to some Rishonim are just like Mayim, and are, there's a mitzvah, there's a kiyum eat the Masudah, but there's never a Chiyav. And other Rishonim are going to hold that. No, that's an in-between category. And if it's my Kavana, L'Shem, Su'uda, that already is mitzdarif with the semi-chashivas of the food to make it a Su'udas
Kevah. Even for things that are objectively not Keva.
That's right. And that, right, exactly. The Akka is in-between category. Good. That's the Sheet of the Maharam is understood at least by the Rosh. Then he adds four words at the end of that middle paragraph here. He says, this is also important, Alech L'Maisa, Ushtiyas Yayin Arayhi. That's interesting. Because you know in Hilchas Brachos, right. Wine has chashivos. Yeah, Levi's right. Right? That's a good point. So is wine different? So he says, no. He says, that's not, that's the same thing. Now, even according to that, what?
But pas has.
Pas is automatic, he says. Right. Interesting. Right? Now, according to this, though, if you're koveya se'uda, okay, don't try this at home. If you're koveya se'uda on yayin, okay. Again, not recommended. Although, by the way, in Western Europe, they didn't have safe water, so wine was actually just like, oh, that's just all you had. It was just like drinking water. That's all that was available at certain points in history. The water was contaminated. You had the bubonic plague and other. In general, it was
beer.
Infested. What?
Beer.
Yeah, that's why beer became so common in Germany, because it was a replacement for water, basically. It's a big part of it. So he's saying, either way, that Shia Sanarahi is nerds. But L'chora, the Rush would be saying that all he's saying is that it doesn't fall under the past category. But it does fall under the combined category. So it would be like Peros for the Maharami Rutenberg, or if you're Kaveh Suda, then you have to eat in the Sukkah, but if not, not. Okay. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, another one of the Bali Tosos who disagrees. Rabbeinu Peretz, al kasav, no. Dafka Peri lo ba'i Sukkah. Sorry, there's another Chil. Dafka Peri lo ba'i Sukkah. Aval Basar Ugvina Ushar Dvarim Chutzmi Peri ba'i Sukkah. He says that what? Basar Ugvina and other things other than Peros, in other words, presumably foods that are staples that are normally part of the Su'uda, right? Like sort of what we would call, I don't know, obviously they didn't have this category, so it's anachronistic to project this onto him, but what we would call things like proteins and carbs or something like that, right? Like, you know, substantial foods that really are filling, right? They fill you up, and that's what gets you through, right? So he says those kinds of things, right? He says those do require sukkah. Kedamrinam bishmaitin hishlun demine targima yatsa. Right, we haven't seen this Gemara yet, but if you use mine targima, you're yotze. By the way, mine targima is a three-way machlokas rishonim. Yeah. What it means in context of shalosh shudas, because discussion you can use mine targima for shalosh shudas if you don't have pas. Question is what that is. So some say that it is fruit. Others say meat. That it is what?
I think meat.
Right, that it is something pas or something along those lines. And the third shita that is pas habavakisnim. Mm. Right, so it's kind of going up the ladder in terms of hashidos. What?
Yeah.
Good. So that's a three of Machlokes Rishonim there, and then there's a discussion here. We're not going to get into all the details, but he's basically drawing on that. So according to Rabbeinu Peretz, well, maybe fruit doesn't require sukkah, but basar gvina does. And it sounds like he's saying basar gvina is like pas. In other words, once you have a certain amount, it automatically has a certain chashivas. That's su'udas keva. Meaning what? Because that's a su'uda. That, those are the kinds of things that it's normal to eat. Right now, you might
steak and potatoes, and it's not a meal.
So right, this goes to, right. This goes to Aviv's chakira also. Right, it's like what's the meal exactly? Right, is it culturally dependent? Can I really have steak and potatoes and say, right, this is not a meal? What do you mean in your society? Right, in the Gedolim Mizrach, right? If you're gonna be really subjective about it, it's really gonna be complicated. Well, I'm a vegetarian, so does that mean that for me this is not a suda because I don't really eat it? Right. How did these kinds of things work themselves out? It's complicated. It's very subtle. So that's I think, a fair question to ask. But either way, Rabbeinu Peretz's assertion is that Basar Gvina is such an objective category and it's going to be treated like Pas. But that too is not 100% clear. And then the Rush concludes the discussion on the next page with some discussion about what constitutes Mini Targima. He says he's not so sure that it is Mini Targima. He thinks maybe it's actually a Pas of Abakistan. So there's no proof, and so on and so forth. So not 100% clear. Okay, so this you can start to get kind of the shape, the contours of halacha lemaisa. You have, right, a couple of different extreme categories. The snacks that are mentioned in the Mishnah, clearly it's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, it's laudatory. It's not yuhara, the Gemara says explicitly, but it's clearly not obligatory. On the other end of the spectrum, you have, right, you have, and by the way, even pas, if it's small enough, less than a beitza, maybe even less than two or three or something like that. At a certain point, that too might require an entilah, entilah bracha, etc., but does not require a sukkah. The other end of the spectrum, clearly full-fledged pas, would require sukkah, right, objectively, automatically, no matter my intention, if it's a certain size. And then you have some dispute about a couple of other middle categories, right? You have basar gvina. Some rishonim are holding that what? Basar gvina also is just like a snack and to be eaten completely outside the sukkah. Others pull in the opposite direction. So it's mini targima, right? That's the shita of Rabbeinu Peretz. With regard to peros, you have the suggestion of Maram Irunberg. Pasha's Maram is that he holds it's like pas. Literally, it's in the sukkah, right? But the Rush clarifies, no, it's pulled into this middle category where you can't say it's automatically, but if that's your intention, then it jumps up, right? So you start to see where this fits in, and then you have the question of yayin, right? And yayin also, the Rush says, is a sudasa, right? And then you have the question also about, right, about mizonos is left open here, and this question about also even more chashav than mizonos, like pasav v'kisim, you know, is right somewhere in between hamotzi and mizonos. That's its whole uniqueness, right? And there also, there's the question of the subjectivity, right? That's what we generally assume. Pasav v'kisim depends on maybe how much and whether I eat it l'shem se'uda. That's what many poskim say, the one slice versus multiple slices of pizza. That's pizza all about the sugya of pasav v'kisim. So the question of pizza is pasav v'kisim at all. But if it is, that's where that distinction comes
from. So you know, say it's subjective. As more subjective nature as to what keva is.
The Rush in general? I don't think anyone can say it's purely subjective because you bypass.
It's subjective, but then it has.
The Rush is. The Rush is conceptually is that subjective considerations can also play a role. I would say that maybe others would agree that if you had a pass l'shem suda that was less than the shir kibetza, they're also subjective. In other words, it's not obvious that the Rush is the only view that others reject this idea. It's possible that others would agree with it as well, but yes. I think it's fair to say that the Rush is clearly introducing the notion that subjective dimensions or considerations can be factors as well.
It's more of a middle ground approach.
In a way, you could say it that way. So the tour, so it was good. If you wanna learn halacha lemaisa, it's sometimes people just pull out the Mishnah Berurah. Mm-hmm. I see people learning from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is one of the most important halacha svarim that was ever written. But I feel very strongly, and my Misurah from Erevim also is very strongly, that ideally that's really not what halacha is. Really, if you want to learn halacha properly, you start from the Pesukim, and you learn the relevant Mishnayos and Mishnah Halacha and so on and so forth. You learn the Gemara, and you learn the Rishonim, and you learn, right? And then you come to the tour, the Beis Yosef. These are crucial parts of the halachic process, the Shulchan Aruch. And if you have that background, by the time you come to the Nosei Kelim and then the Mishnah Berurah, your understanding of all of those sources is completely transformed. Learning Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, there is little resemblance without maybe the guidance of Rebbe or Shir, etc., to learning a sugya properly and then coming to the Nosei Kelim and coming to the Shura. It's a completely different kind of thing. And I've learned this in my life because I've done the same sugya, Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Berurah, or the same topic. And then later on in my life, I've learned those topics, halacha l'maisa, from the beginning, but from the Gemaras and the sugyas. And it's like a completely different thing. This is a totally different world. So I know we're not learning the entire sugya b'iyun, but we're kind of getting a sense of how the sugya develops.
And I think it's very important. How you practice?
Yeah, like, you know, you might not end up having... First of all, you might not have understood the Mishnah Berurah properly in the first place. That's number one. And number two, it's not true that we always paskin like the Shulchan Aruch. It's not true that we always paskin like the Mishnah Berurah. If anyone tells you that, they don't know the first thing about halacha, and you can put that in the recorder, and it's on the recorder. Okay, there you go. It's true. And again, the Mechaber would have been the first one to tell you that, and the Mishnah Berurah certainly would have been the first one to tell you that. The Mechaber has a unique weight in halacha. The Mishnah Berurah has a unique weight in halacha. But we don't... No one would say that we always paskin shreda Shulchan Aruch. Rav Avadia Yosef may have held that way for Sephardim, Eretz Yisrael, beyond, etc. Okay, fine, but I don't think it's fair to say that we always paskin across the border like the Mechaber in all circumstances. I don't think that's the case. Certainly, that's true of the Mishnah Berurah as well. So it's good to kind of go through and get a sense of how the sugya develops. I didn't give you every stage, but it's an important thing to do. So you take a look at the tour here in Tafresh Lama Tess. So he quotes these different opinions. It's not going to be inside, but I'll give you the quick summary. He goes to Maharam Rutenberg's Qumra about Peros. He does not clarify in the way that the Rosh does. He just says the Maharam was Machmir that Peros should be eaten in the sukkah. Pashas is, it sounds like, it's literally like pas. If it's big enough, you have to have it in the sukkah. He quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, who disagrees about Peros, right? But he says, Basar Gvina, that already has to be eaten in the sukkah. He adds that the Rambam says explicitly that Mayim and Peros do not need to be eaten inside the sukkah. So that's, in other words, in accordance with the Rabbeinu Peretz view, not the Maharam about fruit. But it's a good thing to do it if you can. And then he quotes the Rosh. And he discusses the issue of the Chameshas Minei Dagon, the Mizonos, and the Pasal Babakis in question. Okay, so that's the tour. The tour is very important, by the way, because he gives you a really helpful summary very often, and then you learn the Beis Yosef, you can kind of get the basis for everything that appears in the Shulchan Aruch. If you add then the Darchei Moshe, between the Beis Yosef and Darchei Moshe, you've generally covered the background to the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch. So how does he paskin? So in Tafri Shlame Test, Beis Ochem Shosem Vishinim Besukah Kol Shiva Bein Bayum Bein Balayla Bein Yishin Mechutz Asukah Kitu Oshin Asarai Vomotra Lachol Achila Asarai Chutz Asukah.
Tachem Moshe.
So right? Tachem Moshe is by the Rama.
Yeah, and the other resource that you learned in order to get some background for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another one?
The Beis Yosef.
Of course.
Yeah. And together. Okay. Good. So, and then right, then you already have the stuff from Rav Yisukara and Rosh Yisraelis themselves. You have that background. So fine. So we have the question of Shein on Achila versus Achila. V'chama Achila Sarai, so you pass into the smaller amount. Kabitza mi pass. Okay? So which is kind of the inclination of the first Gemara that we had seen. Alright? V'chama Achila, and Tosos seems to say that as well, so that's also a basis for it. V'chama Achila Sarai, kabitza mi pass. Right, and again, he's clear that was. So I said earlier that Shulchan Aruch clearly passes that what? That if you're less than a kibbutz, what's the halacha? Even pas, technically speaking, right, you could eat it outside. Now, we don't know exactly how much the shirk is ice and kibbutz are, and that muddy is the waters. But in theory, in principle, there's such a scenario. Umutr l'shos mayim, and then the Rama adds, v'yayim. Right, so Mechaber says mayim, because it's coming from the Rambam. I chose the Rama. Great, great. It's very posek. And the Rama, coming from the other Makoros that we've seen as the Ayin. Right? That was from the Rush. Right? So that's where that comes from. V'lechol peros va'afilu kova alayhu. Divrei Atzma. That's the Pesach. So right. So that's right. So that's an amalgam of the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. But basically, what happens over here? Right. Basically, pas is kind of put on the side. What about the chameshas minei dagan? Doesn't quite say, right? But the other stuff, the peros is very clear that we don't paskin like. It doesn't seem that we paskin like Maran Mirumberg. Seems like we paskin like Rabbeinu Peretz. Seems like we paskin like the Rambam, right? Umishi yachmi alatma v'lo yishte chutzasukah filu ma'imer zem b'shubach. It's a good thing. What about the chameshas minei dagan? V'tav shasam v'chameshas aminem im kovei alav chashiv kevat zarasukah. So there, the Rush introduces aviv subjectivity. Yeah. Right? Not by Peros, disagreeing with the Maharami Rutenberg's application of the subjectivity or that middle, right, that principle, the middle category to Peros, but accepting it with regard to the case of Chamesh Esmini Dagan.
There's also a sense of objectivity to that as well, because if anytime you say I'm going to eat this as a keva, it's chashiv keva according to the Torah as well. So there's a sense of objectivity and subjectivity.
Right, correct. And so it's a middle category. Yeah. So with halacha lemaisa in Shulchan Aruch, what emerges is three categories. Right, pas above a kibetza must be in the sukkah. Right, other things including the peros and probably including basar gvin, even though it's not explicit, but that's the pashas and that's the general consensus that it's nice to eat in the sukkah, but it's never going to be an obligation to eat in the sukkah. When it comes to chameshes min hadagan, there we have the compromise psak. Good. Excellent. All right. What about wine? Right. So the Ramah said the little thing about wine also. Now, the question is there ever a case of wine? There are a couple of things that are ambiguous. What's ambiguous? First of all, are there ever scenarios in which wine could be keva? What cases of wine might be different?
Kiddush.
Kiddush. And while we're at it?
Havdalah.
Okay. What? Havdalah, what did you say? Arba koses, okay, but only if you think that the Gzer Shavat has Pav Tesva would require you to have four cups on the first night of Sukkos, or any night of Sukkos. For other areas of Allah, it would be relevant. No, I know, you're not Hinami, fine. But you're right, in terms of what will be the Laman Nafkamina. Saying here we're talking about Kava with regard to Sukkah. Well, if there were other Nafkaminas, then maybe. I'm just not sure. Would it be? I mean, there are questions about their level of chashivas and what kind of kos you require and so on and so forth. Maybe pertinent to those kinds of issues. Okay, so is yain for Avdala any different? So the Knevri Poskim discussed this issue. It's machlokas among the Achronim. Machlokas Poskim Marayimazah. If you take a look at Halachapedia, which is, if you're really going all the way through, I threw it on here. No. Halachapedia is actually, it's pretty reliable, I found. What?
I love it.
It's pretty reliable. What? I should have said, if you want to learn Halacha Lamaisa properly, you have to start with Halachapedia and then go to the Psukim and then to the Mishnah. Okay, and go from there. So he just gives you a couple of different makoros about this issue. He notes that it's a machlokas, right? And by the way, it's a dual machlokas, right? Do you have to have the sukkah? And what about leishiv sukkah? And by the way, part of the lamdus here is whether the bracha leishiv sukkah always goes together with the chiyuv. Could there ever be a case of, right, can I opt to say leishiv sukkah when I have my optional thing in the sukkah? We don't assume that.
Wow.
But that would be surprising.
That's a huge
one. Right? Or could there be something on the flip side? Could it be something that's mandatory to have in the sukkah that still doesn't have a relationship with sukkah? So that's what we say. Question is why? Is that just misafik or is that like a din? So there's a chayadam who actually seems to be saying that there's such a category. Question is, do we just do that misafik or is there really such a distinction? It's an interesting question about the bracha and how you understand it. That's a separate lamdashik question about the nature of brachas, hamitzvah, etc. But if you're interested, he quotes a couple of different shitos over here. He says that the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vazner, Paskins, that there's no bracha leishiv b'sukkah. It's not a kviya sukkah. Says the Chazon Ish says that it's one for Avdalah, and therefore it elevates it to the status of kviya seuda, and requires not only being in the sukkah, but even requires a leishiv basukkah. Right? There's a question about this. Right? Different poskim nowadays say this. Rav Elyashiv has a fascinating, he quotes at least, or he's quoted as having distinguished, I didn't see this inside his own farm, but Rav Elyashiv is quoted as having distinguished between wine and grape juice, which is fascinating. That is relevant to the arbakosas. It's a big question whether or not you can follow the abrakosis through wine, but that's a very different halacha. That's where it talks about chiros. Chiros may inquire something that's intoxicating. Right? That's not really generally relevant. This is a question, is it relevant to Avdol in general, but it's not typically relevant for this halacha. The Rambam said that There's a relevant sheet about that. But anyhow, it's more about Mavushal than about anything else. Anyhow, so right then, there's some who recommend the EFT bread. So you have your Mlava Malka right afterward, and the Leishia Basukah and the Mlava Malka is going to be relevant for this as well. But this is a big question. So this is a question about where to have it. Most people that I've seen generally are makar to have it in the Sukkah, but don't specifically say Leishiv, and some try to have their suda around that time and have in mind for the grape juice as well. So that's one outstanding question. Then there's the question of halacha lemaisa with regard to mizonos, and what about pasal bavakisnen? What about pasal bavakisnen? What is that status? Right? Is that like mizonos? Is that like amotzi? Is that automatic? Is it only when you're koveh suda on it? So there is a Mishnah Berurah about that. The Mishnah Berurah, the bottom page 4. Got it? Mm-hmm. Got Lior. Bottom page 4. You got it? Right. Inam pasal bavakisnen. Right, this is in Tafresh Lamed Tesif Katan Yigimel. Pasuk Babakisin Yevoar Sham Umirawi Venachon Lechatchila. He says, there's some question and explain it elsewhere, right? But he seems to leave it as an open question, and then he says that there are some things. Right, this is very interesting. He says there's some things. Shalishos we have a few Sharmashkin when we made Vash Veshichar El Tocha Seuda. Right, this is interesting. He says, what about other drinks? Are there certain drinks that are more kavua? Right, because you guys know that Shechar, for example, has a unique status by Kiddush and Avdala as well. That if you don't have, right, some say, for example, right, if you don't have, or some say, for example, during the 9 days. There's some people who say Havdala over what? Chamar Medina, the chash of a drink that you would serve a guest, right, that's what they would get. And in different opinions, is what it is. That beer, is that tea, is that OJ, is that culturally dependent, right? Diet Coke. What's considered to be the chashav amashka of that particular generation. So that's a question. But here it's interesting that he assigns that a certain degree of chashivas. At least it's preferred, he says, to eat that in the sukkah. And by the way, the Mishnah Berurah, you should just know, in Sefkat and Tesvav, at the end of it, it goes so far as to say, basar dagim ugvina chutz l'sukkah. This is very interesting. In other words, the Mishnah Berurah restores the position that eating bikvios, right, if you eat these foods as part of a su'uda, that it should really be inside the sukkah. Right? In other words, it's one thing if you grab it as a snack, but if you're really having a meal, right, you should really ideally eat in the sukkah. Most people nowadays hold that what, generally? What do most people assume? Basically, pass and mizonos they have in the sukkah, and many assume kind of anything else. It's a nice thing to do, but you don't have to. The Shabur says that's not necessarily the case, and it's in accordance with some of those Rishonim, right? Mm-hmm. This is the right Rami Rudenberg or Rabbeinu Peretz. I know they disagreed about Peretz, but it's some variation on those kinds of shitos. And I would suggest as follows: halacha lemaisa. Well, I'll come back to that in a second, and that'll be the last thing I say. But if you take a look at Sivkat and Tezayin, he talks about Pasa Babakisna. This is very interesting. Does anyone do this? He says, Misha Ochal Kotamama Mordechai. Misha Ochal Pasa Babakisna Bishachris, Bisoch. Can anyone get that word? You guys see it? It's 4 lines down in Sivkat and Tezayin. You can tell me what that word is. Extra credit at the end of the year.
Wait, I don't see it, right?
4 lines down in Sivkat and Tezayin. Page 5. Right?
Yeah, cool.
Good? Coffee, right? Coffee, yet another word that we learned, okay? All right. He says, let's say you typically have pasal bavakisnen dipped in coffee.
Biscuits or something.
Okay? This is like, crumpets or something. All right? That's pretty interesting. Okay, I don't know if anyone does this at home, right? It's not exactly an American practice. He says, v'chayotzigo, sh'anu nogin v'chol yomos ha'shana. Ma'isim sh'v'chol yom, he says, in Eastern Europe. Okay, so he's writing in the early 20th century. It's very interesting. I'm not sure what he's referring to. You have to ask an old timer. Find out. So he says, right? You see this? That they had video of him going around. Was it last year, 2 years ago? See this?
Regarding this or just in general?
No, they had a video of the Chavis Chaim.
I did see that.
A clip of him going to a rabbinic conference or something like that.
That's so
in,
cool.
Whatever. was it the 1920s or whatever it was? I don't know that.
What? Historical proof that
it is. Video. I some historians actually were citing it seriously.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm not qualified, but there were historians who know about the time period reporting it.
That was high. That's good information.
I'm critical when it comes to history, not like in a bad way, like in a good, like in other words, you know, like people say like, oh, this happened. They tell these stories. You know, I don't necessarily jump at them. I think you have to be very careful with these things. But I saw serious historians referring to it. So I don't know for sure. Anyhow, so. Good. So anyhow, he talks about this case of when it's normal to eat a sesuda and the halacha as well. So just to kind of wrap up, I want to make two points. First of all, just one last thing I wanted to mention to you guys, and then my halacha makes a personal commentary. Take a look at source 12. I gave you Chai Adam. You guys know what Chai Adam was? Rav Avram Danzig. Chai Adam is one of the most important halacha svarim. In fact, for those who didn't learn halacha in Eastern, speaking of Eastern Europe, it was common to learn halacha mesa in Chai Adam. It was a common kind of thing. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in some circles later on, but before that, the Chai Adam was very, I think when I was in MTA, the ninth grade, I learned Chai Adam, halacha mesa. So Chai Adam says something fascinating. He's from Vilna, a very interesting person. So the Chai Adam says, actually, that in his opinion, he says that if a person, let's say a person doesn't eat a lot of sudos and just walks into the sukkah, this goes back to yesterday's shiur, in the past shiurim, he says that the gra, I just saw this now when I was bringing the shiur, so just a kind of an appendage to previous shiurim, says that the gra used to make a bracha when entering the sukkah if he wasn't planning to eat.
Even if he wasn't planning.
Yeah.
Wow.
He says, the Chai Adam says, we don't do this, not accepted psa. He says that was the gra's practice. I think that's very important. Or is this right? The right teacher came to do it. It's exactly what he says. The Havi came to do it. So it goes back to all of our discussions.
Wow.
Rabbi Nutam says we're yosomech on this the eating. Okay, so the Gra says that's fine if on this round you're eating. But if you're not eating this round, you can't say the other bracha covers it, he assumes, and therefore he was makud say bracha. Most assume that no, you're eating in general covers it. Even if you go in, ready to go out and go in, you're planning to, you're kind of, it's all one connected thing, and it's just punctuated by su'udos. Those are individual acts of kvios. But the gross says, no, you walk in, you're not going to eat in the sukkah. Apparently, that's how the chayalim says it. It's unbelievable. We don't generally, again, I'm not recommending you do this in practice, but in terms of lamdos, it really brings home this idea of teishu kit to do. Very good. Anyhow, my last commentary is as follows. Halacha lemaisa, I think we should accept the standard practice, as we've kind of seen, which is basically what I would recommend is that most things, we assume, don't have to be eaten in the sukkah. When it comes to pas above a certain shear, certainly it does. When it comes to mizono, so it seems that the accepted psak is that if your intention is l'shem suda, then it should be eaten in the sukkah, and pas above a kistin could be automatic, could be that's more objective. That's already a question raised by the Mishnah Berurah. That's a discussion. But what I would, my feeling, is, I'm not passing this for you guys, but if you'd ask me what I think, I would say this last piece of the Mishnah Berurah, I think, is a very important one. Not the last one, but this point that we made about the basar, you know, dagim. I think it's a very good chumrah that if a person is eating a real meal, not necessarily to make a bracha, but to really eat that in the sukkah. Because that's really the spirit of everything that we're talking about, right? In other words, meikra din, I don't think it's really necessary, and that remains. But the whole idea of tishu kein tadiru is that if in our society it's typical to eat a whole meal, and there's a separate chiv to have passed, by the way, for chol hamoed, and then that's a separate discussion, or sochus yantav, etc. But even leaving that aside for the purpose of this discussion, I think it's consistent with everything that we've learned, right? The whole idea that you're really living there, and then even if technically you're not being passed, I think that's kind of the thrust of a lot of what we've seen. So my personal chumrah is that when I'm eating anything, I say, I'm not personally makbid in everyday life that I have to go out to my sukkah for a drink of water. It's not. There are those who I have a lot of respect for who are makbid on that. And I used to be makbid on that, but when we had kids, it became kind of, you know, I ended up finding that and their kind of thing that where I was kind of neglecting other responsibilities at home because of that chumrah. So I didn't continue that particular chumrah. But when I am having anything that would qualify as a real meal, I really try very hard to have that out in the sukkah, even if technically mi'ikra adin, you can wave your thumbs like this and say that doesn't have to be in the sukkah, because that's this Mishnah Berurah. But I think more largely, I think Mishnah Berurah is kind of an outgrowth of kind of the thrust of Bar-Sugya. So that's a thing. And I think it goes to our Lashkafa with regard to mitzvos. The mitzvos are not just meant to be kind of technical questions. They are that, of course, but they're broader. They're meant to animate kind of how we live our lives. They're meant to be living halachos, that really we try to not just be yotze and check them off, but really to live up to them. Someone once said, right, Walter Wurzberger was a great rabbi in mid to late 1900s in America. Ray Wurzberger used to say that halacha is a baseline, right? It's not it's not the heights. It's not the be all and end all. It's just the beginning. Right? It's a platform from which we begin.
Wurzberger.
Walter Wurzberger. So this is a philosopher, shul rav, and big Tam Chacham, and a student of the rav. Right? It's a baseline. It's a starting point. It's not the ending point. I think that's a very important idea. Good. All right. Tomorrow we wrap up with
Sukkah.
Shkoyach.
Fish.